So glad you guys are with us today. We are wrapping up a series that we've been calling Christian that we've been doing for the last 5 weeks, and this is our sixth week of it. And we've titled it Christian because it's interesting. We've talked about this idea throughout the series, is the idea about Christianity itself. It's kind of developed a branding problem through the years, and part of that problem is based on terminology. See, in the first century, the word Christian itself was actually a derogatory term that people who disliked Christians called them. That's what it was in the Bible, and it's actually only found 3 times. So when you go look at what the definition of Christian is in the Bible, it's actually a negative term. So it has no real concrete meaning. And basically what's happened is over time, it's left us a lot of leeway on both sides to kind of, how do we define this? So consequently, throughout history, culture has kind of attached these particular doctrinal ideas or social ideas or political beliefs to the word Christian. So it's basically been beliefs that over time have become important to us personally, and that's how we've defined the word Christian. And for some people, Christian can be synonymous with the word conservative. You can think hyper-conservative person when they say Christian, or if you say Christian for some, it can be synonymous with the word or with a very liberal interpretation or analogy. But here's what's interesting that we've said is Jesus. And it's kind of important that we pay attention to what he says every once in a while, right? Would you agree? Can I get an amen? Jesus never called his followers Christians. Never even came out of his mouth. He gave them ideas and brands and themes about what it was to be like for a follower of Jesus. And really one of the only words that he uses on an ongoing basis is he called them disciples. You've probably heard that in this series. He called them disciples. And when we use the word disciple, it changes the whole ballgame, doesn't it? Because that's even a scarier word, disciple. Because we know that disciple actually means something. And we kind of know what the definition is. A disciple is, according to our definitions, a pupil or a follower. And by definition, a disciple is somebody that is ongoing learning, they're ongoing growing, and they do that by obeying and imitating their master. And that's what Jesus says my followers look like. Nonetheless, here's the problem is Jesus went on and on about this idea about love one another, and he particularly said, this is the most important thing, how you behave. And this was one of his big concerns. It was one of his primary teachings. But over time, the problem is it's been distorted into a debate more about what we believe, So Jesus was all about how we behave, but over time, we've shifted to all about this, what we believe. But here's what you got to know. And if you've been here for any of the weeks, I'll try to catch you up, and these are kind of the key passages, but this was what Jesus said, and it was crystal clear, it was very clear, this is how he wanted his disciples to behave. John 13, 35, it says this, by this... This one thing, this is the idea. This is it, guys. And he was telling that first group of followers, that first century followers, this is it. This one thing, everybody will know that you are my disciples. What's the one thing? If you love one another. In other words, I want people to look at Jesus' followers and know without a shadow of a doubt, they are my followers, not based on what they believe, but based on how they behave. This is it. I mean, this is the whole idea. And Jesus understood this so well that his greatest command that he gave to his first followers and how they should treat each other kind of centered around this idea. You remember, we shared it last week and in future weeks as well, but Jesus was kind of pushed into the corner with the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were wanting to get after him and say, you don't agree with Moses, and Moses gave us the law, so Jesus, what's the greatest commandment of all? And Jesus believed this idea about treating each other so important. He said and clearly stated the greatest command in Matthew chapter 22, 37 through 39. He said this, love Love starts out again. Again, love. It's kind of a big theme here with Jesus. Are you catching this? Are you working with me on this? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And he says, this is the first and the greatest commandment. And everybody's thinking, well, he's done. And he's like, no, I'm not done. There's actually another one that goes along with it. And they're like, well, that's a hard one. He's like, I get it, but that's not all. This one goes with it, and you have to get this part as well because they go together. He says this, you're also supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. They go together. And then here's what's amazing, folks, is you've heard this before. You've heard us teach on this. If you've ever grown up in a church culture, you've been here or you've been there and you've heard, what's the greatest command? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, strength. And you've seen this before. But here's what's amazing. What's amazing is this, is Jesus says something after this that is an incredible idea. And how we've missed it for so many years, I just don't know. Because it goes right along with these first two commandments. Catch it. It's huge. Verse 40, it says this. All the law. And this time he's saying this to a group of people, and he's saying it to us in an audience in the 21st century, saying everything else that you know and believe, all the law, all 613 of them, all the traditions of the elders, everything that came upon the original 10, all the law, he says, and the prophets, which basically means all the teachings that are going to come later on in life, that are going to be written in the New Testament part of this thing, all that stuff, they hang on these two commands. These two. This is it. This is where it starts. And you heard me say this last week, and some people, I tried to warn you, I'm not sacrilegious when I say you're not supposed to get up every day and say, what does the Bible say? All right, because we know according to this passage, this is what the Bible says, that you love one another. And we didn't say that all of this stuff is unimportant, but we did say all of it is subservient. It comes underneath this idea. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And we can argue that and say, no, it's what you believe. No, 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 no. That's not what Jesus said. He said it's what you do with what I've given to you. It's how you behave. He says all of it hinges on that. You know what that means, folks? You know what that realistically means for us today? You can't miss this. It means that any time and every time that we pick up our Bible to look for, what does it say about this? What does it say about them? What does it say about my wife? What does it say about my husband? What does it say about that group of people? You know that group of people. What does it say about raising my kids? What does it say about ethics? What does it say about my morality? What does it say about sex? What does it say about everything? It means every time you pick it up, what does it say about everything? Every time that you pick it up and you find scripture about a law, or you find scripture about a command, or every time that you look at it and find scripture that says thou shalt and thou shalt not, and we know this book is full of it. This book has all kinds of ideas about those things that I've just said. All right? Here's what Jesus was saying, though. Jesus said this, anytime, in all and every situation, that you want to find something to believe in, he says this, make sure, before you go there, make sure you look at all that stuff, all of that, through the filter of this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And, by the way, because this is important, it goes with the first, love your neighbor as yourself. And then that verse 40 right there, all the law, all the prophets, everything else that's going to come later, because it's important, don't throw it out, don't rip it out, it's still important, but all this stuff is supposed to be filtered and viewed through the lens of love. And he says, and everything, all the law, all the prophets, they hang, they hinge, they are filtered through those two commands. Love the Lord your God. And then we kind of revealed this last week
And how you know, that's kind of a tough thing. And we said, it's almost too easy, isn't it? And it's almost too easy that we've really complicated this thing and we've screwed it up and we've really, really blown it today. Because it's like, how do I do that? And that's what we're kind of talking about today, on how do I actually work this very simplistic thing out and live out the gospel instead of teach out the gospel. Live out the gospel. It has more impact. And the idea that we led you to last week is this, is we asked you to ask yourself a big question each and every day. Paul actually wrote to the church in Rome. Remember that? The first week that I spoke, which was actually the fourth week in which it was Nero's circus, and these people were being, all these early church followers were being persecuted for their faith, and they were being blamed for the city being burned down, and it was just not a good time to be alive and be a Christian. But they wanted to follow Jesus with all their heart, and this is what he gave them, love one another. So we kind of looked at this, And he said, this holds the power. This holds the ability to transform the world. And he wrote to them in Romans, to the church of Rome. And he said kind of these ideas about loving. And he said, you're supposed to wake up every day and pay off your physical debts. And FPUers all said amen, because that's what we preach and teach here, right? FPU. But he also said this, there is a debt that you'll never be able to pay off. And you are supposed to always fill that debt, and that debt is a debt of love. You will never, ever, ever be able to pay that debt off. So that basically meant that you are supposed to wake up each and every single day knowing that you are in debt to the people around you. And we gave you this question from that small snippet of passage that Paul wrote to the Romans. You should wake up every single day, and in every moment you should ask yourself this, what does love require of me? Today, in this moment, no matter how much I want to punch this person in the face, what does love require of me? What does love require of me? In other words, if everyone is going to know that you're a Jesus follower, that I'm a Jesus follower by how I treat them and by how I treat others, then I need to always be asking myself every moment of every day, what does love require of me? And folks, this idea is a game changer. It is a game changer. And it is so hard, and it's so simple, and maybe that's what makes it hard, because here's the deal, if you grew up like me in a church culture that I grew up in, then your inclination was always to look for the thou shalts and the thou shalt nots, and what am I supposed to do and what am I not supposed to do. We were always inclined to look at the commands, when actually what we were doing is we were overlooking the intent of the commander, which was love one another. All this stuff is important, and it's super huge and major important when you can decide to filter your life by looking through love at all times. Then this stuff even makes more sense. It's a game changer. Now, in the last closing minutes, you know, like the next 65, 70 minutes that we're going to be together today, I want to do my best today, my best ability to explain to you how absolutely extraordinarily brilliant the idea of Jesus about loving one another really is. It just truly is. There is brilliance in this statement about loving one another. And I get it, because so many times we come to church and we're just like, just tell me what to do, tell me what to do, tell me what to do. Love! That's it. Let's never meet again. You know what I'm saying? It's as simple as it is. Love. But it is brilliant. It is brilliant. And there's brilliance in this because it's actually already found in our own personal experience to life. Let me put it this way. I know something about you that you may not know. Okay? And you could say the same thing for me. But here's what I know. Every single person sitting in this room, regardless of what your age is, you have been shaped. You have been molded, you have been formed into the person that you are today by two categories of people. Who you are today is representative by two categories of people. They have molded you, they have shaped you, and they have formed you to who you are today. And here they are. If you're a note taker, you probably want to write these down. But these two categories of people that have influenced your life, those who've hurt you,
and those who've loved you.
This is it. This is who it is. And here's what's fascinating and interesting to me about these two categories of people, those who've hurt you and those who've loved you, those who've influenced you and those who didn't influence you. Because here's what's amazing. What's amazing to me, it had nothing to do with what they believed. They influenced you by how they behaved. Because love is an action. And hurt is an action. So they haven't even affected you or shaped you by what they believe. It's interesting. Just think about this. Those who've hurt you deeply and those who've loved you profoundly. And guys, this is so the case. Anytime that you are in life and you would happen to find yourself in counseling because you bumped up against something that you just can't seem to get through, it's hard, it's difficult. A good counselor takes you right there to those that have hurt you and to those that have loved you. They want to go to the root of the problem. And you know what's profoundly confusing about this idea? Many of us that are sitting here today, many of you and many in our culture have been hurt deeply. They've been hurt deeply by people with accurate theology, with what they know, with what they believe. They've been hurt deeply. You've been hurt deeply by people who believed all the right things. You've been hurt deeply by people who've never missed a Sunday in church in their life. You've been hurt deeply by people that know every single verse and every single book and every single chapter of every single sin that you've ever committed. They got accurate theology. They know everything. Seriously, folks, it's everywhere that you look. There are pastors, coaches, priests, teachers, parents who are in prison or alienated from society who, by all outside appearances, they have impeccable theology. They know a whole lot, but they've hurt people tremendously, not by what they believed or knew, but by how they believed or by how they behaved and how they treated a person or a child. And the flip side is true as well. There's many of us that are here today, many of you, many in our culture today, who we've moved into adulthood with this extraordinary self-esteem, with this extraordinary potential, with an extraordinary outlook on life. And it's all because you've been loved profoundly. You've been loved profoundly. And some of those people, I think it would be fair to say, some of those people that have loved you profoundly, their theology wasn't always consistent or accurate, right? Or sophisticated. They didn't always know the chapters and the books and the verses. They couldn't tell you all the stories the right way, but they did something for you that set you up for life that goes way, way beyond theology and far beyond belief. They loved you. They loved you. I am serious, folks. Every single person in this room and everything that you do in this life, how you parent, how you husband, how you wife, how you relate, and how you lead, it's from the doses of these two things right there. Those who've hurt you deeply and those who've loved you profoundly. That's it. It's how you've been shaped. This is why what Jesus said is so extraordinarily profound. Basically, let's put it this way. We've been affected not by what people have believed, it's by how they behave. So this is a great idea. The way that you've been treated has more to do with who you are than what you believe. Think about that. Jesus was brilliant on this thing. It was extraordinarily important that his followers would grasp this idea about loving one another. How you treat people is so much more important than what you know. That's why I've said it before. It's not about information. It's about transformation. That's what the gospel is about. You can know everything there is to know. But if you don't love, guess what the Bible says? You have nothing. Nothing. Jesus was implying with his whole love one another thing. It's like, Christ followers, this is your best play. This is your best hand. This is your greatest leverage. This is your greatest opportunity. But somewhere along the way, and we don't have enough time to explain it today, but there was this shift that happened from the very beginning in the very first motto that Jesus said, that love, 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 love. There was a shift that happened that went from behave to believe. From behave to believe. See, when the first church started, when Jesus launched this whole idea, this campaign of love that we've been talking about, it was all about this idea, how you love, how you love, how you love. Remember we said it last week where they all went back to this thing, this idea about love, and someone would show up and they'd say, well, I got a marriage problem. You got a marriage problem? I got it. We know what Paul wrote about it. But guess what? Let's go even way, way, way farther back to what Jesus said. Love one another. Come back in 2 weeks after you wake up every single day feeling a debt of love, asking yourself, what does love require of me? And then tell me about your marriage problem. And you come back and like, it's still there. It's your fault. I'm telling you, you do not want to set up counseling with me. I am not the counselor on our staff. I am not. Well, everybody wants to call. I want to meet with Pastor Josh. You don't want to meet with Pastor Josh, I'm telling you. Because he, okay, listen. How you love, but somewhere, over time, it's tragically become about this. It has. What you believe, what you believe, what you believe. I'm telling you, folks, don't miss this. If we could just do what Jesus said instead of arguing about what Jesus said, the world would change. It would change. The reputation of Christ followers would change. The influence of the church would change. Believing, it's almost too easy. I've spoken at so many camps and been in ministry for over 20 years, and you know how easy it is for me to convince somebody to believe what I believe just because I know more than they do? Believing is easy. You can do that with almost doing nothing. But behaving? Literally wanting to punch somebody in the face and behaving the opposite, asking before you do that, one, two, three, what does love require of me? Behaving? Honestly, that almost is a brand new worldwide worldview. Guys, you got to get something here. Because I'm serious. It is so hard. We want to taste, touch, see before we believe. And it's like, just tell me what to do, Josh. Just tell me. No, it's not that hard. It isn't. It's not difficult at all. Let me help you out with this, okay? Our key verse, by this one thing, all men, everyone will know that you're my disciples, how you love one another. Notice what Jesus did not say, and let me rephrase this first so it just clears up any confusion in your life. Jesus did not say a new command, a command that you need to put this one at the top, boys. This is the biggest and the baddest. All that other stuff, it's important. It's important, but this is the new one, okay? Jesus did not say this. A new command I give to you. Believe correctly. Because if you believe correctly, then all men will know that you're my disciples. How? If you believe correctly. That's not what he said. He said, by this one thing, all men will know that you're my disciples, how you love one another. Have you ever thought about maybe if you could learn to love one another, you might actually learn to know more about what this says? D- Do you realize, folks, I've been doing this full-time vocational thing for over 20 years. Do you realize how much time, energy, and publishing has been spent around people who say they follow Jesus, that argue with each other about exactly what Jesus meant by what Jesus said? And in the beginning, guys, this is what's crazy. In the beginning, we just said it a couple weeks ago when Jesus was on that small country hillside and he was teaching. It's what we said. In the beginning, it wasn't this way. It was simple. Because the early church followers didn't have any knowledge. All they had was Jesus at that time. And all they had was what Jesus taught them. And all Jesus was teaching them was this. Love one another. And it always came back in all their situations, it always came back to, what does love require of me? I'm telling you, folks, this is brilliant. And here's why it's brilliant. Because when Jesus gives you something, he has a reason for it. I don't know if you know that. Sometimes you're like wondering, I don't know if I believe that. He has a reason behind it. And the reason that Jesus gave us this idea and this principle of love one another is because he knows your hearts and he knows what you need to survive. It's called relationship. You and I were created for relationship. That's it. I mean, that'll blow your theology out of the water. But that is why we were created, for relationship. And we were created for a need for relationship, which means, hey, listen, I don't know about you, but I don't like when people don't like me. I don't. It hurts, doesn't it? It hurts when someone takes a different opinion or a different approach to you. She's doing it to me all the time. It hurts, man. I'm just joking. She wouldn't do that. But it is. We're designed to want people to love us. So when we're not getting it, guess what we do? We hurt emotionally. And then we hurt physically, and sometimes that leads us to hurting somebody else emotionally and physically. And guess what's happening when we're hurting other people? We're shaping them. And Jesus knew this. He knew this because he actually knew the heart of men. He knew what everybody needed. And every time that you pick up this book and you go read about Jesus interacting with someone, you know how Jesus did it? Jesus knew everything. He didn't walk around and say, hey, come to me because I know it all. It's not how Jesus operated. Are you kidding me? Jesus walked around and he interacted with people based on their stories. I challenge you, go look it up. Jesus interacted with each individual with their story. And it changed how Jesus responded, because every time Jesus would ask, according to their story, what does love require of me right here in this right moment with this person? And guys, it happens to us all the time, man. We had some youth counselors that were in here that they just went to youth camp, and they had some kids that were like, you know, and they already had some preconceived ideas when they went to. And I'm speaking because I was a youth pastor myself, and it's happened before. I'm a pastor, and some of you bother me. I don't know if you know that or not, but listen, but we have this preconceived idea about one another, and you do too of me. Ginger's always worried about perception of like, I don't know if that person took you the right way. They don't know me. But when you know me and you come a while, or I know you and I know you a while, you know what it is? For some reason, that irritation is sometimes there, it's sometimes annoying, but when we actually sit down and talk, we're like, oh, well, I know why they're that way. And I've heard their story. And some people are messed up, man. They're jacked up. I'm not meaning that as a joke. Why are you laughing, people? No, we are. And we're wondering why, but you know what we do? Normally, before we get into their story, we're like finding out, why are they that way? I bet they're this way because their parents don't parent this way and that way and this way and that way. We go to the Bible, we know the book, we know the chapter, we know the verse. But then when we hear their story, we're like, oh, wow. And how we look at that person changes. completely. And Jesus did this all the time. It's exactly what he did. He interacted with them in relationship with their story every single time, and he answered it through this filter after he heard the story. Tell me what's going on. Heard the story, and then he asked this: what does love require of me in this moment with this person? Seriously, go look at the Bible. Check it out. It's there all the time. To one rich guy, because he knew his heart and he heard his story, he said this: you need to sell everything. You need to get your heart right because you're far away from the kingdom. You need to sell everything. And to another rich guy, he listened to his story. He heard it, and he says, you know, you're close. And then we hear this, and we're like, why is Jesus so inconsistent? Why did he give two opposite answers to two different rich guys? Why is he like this? Why is he so inconsistent with one group or one person in the Bible? It's because he listened to their story. He knew their hearts. And he always, always, always answered through this filter. What does love require of me? Right now, with this person. Can you imagine what would happen in our families? Can you imagine what would happen in our workplaces? Can you imagine what would happen in our city, in our state, in our country, in other countries? I don't know, maybe reach 30,000 people a year. I didn't even know that Suresh and Christina were going to be with us when I wrote this message. I thought, whoa. Soup, soap, salvation. But wait a minute. Isn't salvation more important? That's what you've been told, and that's what you believe, but you'll never get in the door if you don't love. If we could just first listen to the story. And before you're tempted to respond with what you know and what you heard Pastor Josh preach in that series and that series, I got some good information for you. If you really want transformation, when you listen to their story, how about you respond with action and behavior of compassion? But they're wrong. But they're wrong. But that's sin. Well, who made you God to call that out sin? Huh? Only God can do that. What does love require of me? I'm serious, folks. If you want somebody seriously to change in your life, if you want you got someone in your life that's just like, you would like to influence someone's life, here's what I know. You basically have two options with that person. You know that person, that person. You can either hurt them deeply. How's that going for you so far? Is it getting any better? Or you can love them profoundly. I believe it's time that we get this. It's not about what we believe. It's about how we behave. And don't hear what I'm not saying, because I've never once said that believing and understanding and knowing and growing isn't important. Because I called you what Jesus called you at the beginning, a disciple. And a disciple imitates and he obeys and he learns and he grows. But they always do it through a filter of love. None of this is irrelevant. It becomes even more relevant when we decide to ask every day, what does love require of me? And guys, this is what Jesus said. It's not something I'm just throwing out there like, hey, you know, you might want to give it a shot. This is what Jesus said. This one thing everybody will know that you are my disciples. What's the one thing? Love one another. How you treat one another. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to wrap this thing up with three simple statements. We will be done in 45 minutes. That's it. Seriously. Because we've given you a lot of stuff in this series. A lot of ideas. They're so simple, but they seem so radical. Crazy ridiculous. But here's what I want to do. I want to give you a couple statements that maybe, just maybe, how you could begin to work it out. That's why we titled today's message, Working It Out. Working It Out. And we wanted to give you this. Now, just before, ahead of time, just get this, because you're like, I want the whole list. We don't have time for the whole list. There's so many more. But here's the deal. If you were to basically decide today, I'd really like to start taking a step in that direction of loving one another. Why? So everybody will know that I'm his disciple. That's not a bad title to have. So if you decided to do that, here's three things that could just get you started. Give you the nudge in the right direction. Here they are. Number one, ready? Don't do anything that will hurt you. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't miss this. Your heavenly Father loves you. So you cannot hurt yourself without hurting him. It's impossible. Do you know what love requires of you? It requires that you never, ever, ever make any kind of decision in your life. Never make any kind of decision morally, ethically, relationally, professionally, financially, or sexually that hurts you. Because when you hurt you, you hurt the one that loves you the most. And this is where people push back, because they're like, dude, You need to get out of my business, okay? Because what I, notice I kind of give that all-encompassing, morally, relationally, ethically, professionally, financially, sexually, and I got in people's business and all this stuff and that moral stuff that hurts you, and you're like, dude, you just need to back up, because that thing, that area, that person, this person, those things, those are between me and me, so back off. Don't let your pride go there, because here's what my answer will be for you every single time. No, no, no. It's not just about you, because you are loved. It's not just your world. It's not just your life. It's not just your relationship. It's not just your profession and your reputation, because my Bible tells me, and it should tell you the same thing, that you are loved by your heavenly Father. And love requires that you respond to his love by taking care of you. Why? Because he loves you. Three people. Some of you aren't convinced. You're like, yeah, I'll check that out later. Don't do anything that will hurt you. Don't do it. Here's number two. Don't do anything that will hurt somebody else. You kind of know where we're going with this now, don't you? And we're talking here about interpersonal relationships. We're talking here about a decision that you come to in life if you're a genuine Jesus follower. And regardless of what you believe, regardless of what you believe, you are going to respond in love first. And here's why. Here's why, the most important thing. Nobody can beat this one, by the way. This will trump any of your ideas on this moment right here. Because you're like, well, what about this person? Here's why. Here's why. Because everyone that you come eye to eye with and face to face with each and every day is someone that God loves and he sent his son to die for. You can't beat that. You ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing on that one. You just come to the conclusion every time before you want to strangle them. Teenagers. You just have come to this conclusion. Christ died for them. Everybody, folks, you hear this, all inclusive, everybody is someone that God loves. Guess what? Surprise, news alert, just as much as he loves you. Just as much as he loves you. Now, this one's going to sting. Even the people who've hurt you the most. It's going to hurt. Even the people that love, that hurt you the most. And this one's hard because sometimes loving one another in such a way of someone that has hurt us requires that we basically go through this confession and this confrontation time. And anybody that's out there that knows that the confrontation and confession is really, really hard and it really, really hurts. But here's what I know. Sometimes, not all the time, sometimes confrontation and confession requires that you use a scalpel. It does. It's gonna hurt. It's supposed to hurt. You and the person. It requires that you use a scalpel. But here's what I know. It never, ever, 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 ever involves using a sword. Which many of us, we've always got like one hand on there. You know what I'm saying? Like Doc Holliday. Say when. You know what I'm saying? You know what love requires of you? It requires that the filter in which your words will come, the filter in which your actions will come, they will never, ever, ever, ever do anything to hurt, to betray, to deceive, to tempt, to abuse another person. Never. Ever. Last one, don't be mastered by anything. Someone's like, well, don't hurt me. Don't hurt others. Where's this one coming from? Don't be mastered by anything. You know why this one's so important and why we include it in our statements? Because whenever you're mastered by someone or by something, it will always keep you from loving someone. Think about that. Nobody ever should have to compete with your addiction to work. Nobody ever should have to compete with your anger. Nobody should have to compete with your porn. Nobody should have to compete with your alcohol. Nobody should have to compete with anything else in your life. You refuse to be mastered by anything. Why? Because God is your master. You know what love requires of you here? Love requires that you get rid of anything that competes with his lordship. Because if you cannot love as long as you're mastered by anything else, you can't. It can't be done. Now, here's what's interesting, folks. Here's what's interesting. As I shared these three simple statements of like, if you want to take a step in that direction of what Jesus and try it out, as I shared those three statements, every single person in here, I know you did this because I did this as well when I wrote this message. Everybody here, as I just presented these three things to you, don't hurt you, don't hurt others, don't be mastered by anything. Here's what you thought. Here's what you thought and went through your head. You thought of somebody else in your life that you hope was listening to what I just said. Didn't you? And some of you are out there like, well, they're not here, so I'm going to make sure that when it goes online, I'm sending them the link to listen to this message. You thought of somebody that needed to hear what I just said. You're like, ugh. You know what's interesting about that? You know what's interesting about that idea about how we always do this. We're sitting in an audience. We listen to something Pastor Josh says, like, that is so good. I'm sending that to my sister. You know, and we, my husband needs to hear that. You know, we go there. You know why? You know why we go there all the time? It's because those people that you know need to hear that hurt you. Isn't it interesting how the natural inclination is? Now do you see why, even though it's simple, it's extremely hard? We want to go there. But here I'm just going to propose a thought today because Jesus did it. I'm just going to propose Jesus' thought once again. What if you were to decide today, I'm just not going to worry about them anymore. Not going to do it. And I'm going to let God take care of them.
Now, be careful.
Don't get vindictive when you say that right there. I'm going to let God take care of, you know. Don't do that. I'm going to let God take care of them. What a novel idea. When is the last time that he ever asked you to do anything like save the world? Didn't he do that already? And why did he do that? Because he loved the world. That he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever believed. Oh, wait, love went before believe, didn't it? I just came up with that. I need to write that down in my message notes. That was really cool. Wow. Why don't we let God do what God does best? Who made us God? But I know what it says. If you know what it says, and you know that you're supposed to love first, and we say, for me, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to change the trajectory of my life, because why? I want to be known. I want to be salt. I want to be light. I want to be different. I want to be noticeably different by everybody that I'm a Jesus follower. I'm going to do what Jesus said to do. I'm going to start here. I'm not going to do anything. At all. It hurts me anymore. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do anything that hurts anybody else anymore. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to be mastered by anything anymore. Here's the deal. Please don't miss this. I'm almost done. Seriously, 15 minutes. Listen, here's what I believe Jesus was after right here. When his followers, his church, leverage anything else than love, and we ultimately lose our leverage. Now we get to be out there and we're like, dude, that's good. Can you say that again? Because I want to write that. Listen, when we sit out there and we're like, that is good stuff. You know what's interesting about that? I'm here to tell you, 20 plus years in vocational ministry, guys, as the church, we've lost our leverage in our culture today. We have. And you're like, but we're not that way. We're doing a whole series on love, and this is how we are. It doesn't matter. There is a stigma in society that points to the church and says, they. And we get lumped into the whole barrel. We've lost our leverage. I just think about this, how much more we could do, you know? 30,000 people in India. Why not 60,000, right? Why not 60,000? We've lost our leverage in our culture today. And here's the thing. We blame other things. It's not because of wars. It's not because we were at war in the Middle East. It's not because of denominations. It's not because, this is going to shock some of you, it's not because of Democrats and Republicans. Contrary to what many people believe, that's why. It's not because of any of that. It's because this why, guys. It's because many, many, many decades ago, when the church began to grow and they began to have power and they began to have influence and they began to have money, gosh, the love of money is the root of all evil. They began to have money, and when the church actually did have influence in politics and legislation, when they reached the height, the church reached the height of its power in this world, guess what happened? Guess what happened in that moment? We abandoned love. We stopped drawing people. We started telling people. But guys, you got to get this. It wasn't always that way, because my Bible reads this. Once upon a time, there was a handful of Jesus followers, and all they had was love. One another. Guys, this is crazy. They did not have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They might have been around. They hadn't recorded anything. They didn't have Paul yet. They didn't have the New Testament. They didn't have what you and I now have today to believe in.
All they had was what Jesus said was the greatest commandment of all. What if we start here? All that other stuff is good. It'll never make sense until you get here. What if we start here? What if we love one another? What if, maybe, just maybe, it is how you treat one another? What if we filter the entire Old Testament and all that new information that's going to be coming and rolling in through the New Testament, what if we filter it all through love? What if we do that? What if we do that? And you know what? History tells us that's how the West was won for Jesus. That's how a culture was influenced. That's how the world was turned upside down for Jesus. Love. Let's all stand on our feet with our heads bowed. Now, you don't have to bow your heads. I doubt anybody's leaving, right? Nobody's going to leave, right? You've been here for a while. Nobody leave. I got you. Here's what I'm going to leave us with this question, with the close of this series. What if? Guys, come on, what if? Listen, we're part of the church. There's no doubt about it. But hey, look, our influence right here, Maricopa, what if our church, this church right here, what if we could do this again? What if people could look at us and say, what are those celebrators doing? What is going on over there? And it has nothing to do with what we say we believe. It has everything with what we do, with what we believe, how we behave. Can you just imagine what the world would look like? Love one another. And it's worth noting here. This is really worth noting. Back in the day when they had love one another, it was nothing about coercing. It got that way. Remember when the Crusades take place and the Muslims were slaughtered in Jerusalem and all these things happened. We shared this stuff. It moved that way, that people started making them believe what they believed. But it never started out that way. It was never about coercion. It was always about being drawn. Being drawn. People that they wrapped their arms and their brains around this idea of love one another. And it was all about this, come and see. Come over here. Come and see what's going on. Come here. Come and see. We're standing up on soapboxes. The end is near. You know, I did that. It was, come here. Come and see. Check this out. And people were drawn. They were drawn literally to what was going on to these Jesus followers. And when they came, they showed them. Here's my challenge for each of us in closing to this series. Do everything you can possible to view everything and everyone through the filter of love. Just do it. And always ask yourself in any and all situations, don't ever let this question leave your brain. And I challenge you, when it hurts and it's the hardest the most, ask yourself this question. What does love require of me? Live a life that people look at you and they wonder, what is up with them, to the point in which they are drawn to come and ask you, what is so different about you? It's interesting you should ask. You draw them to the edge through a life of love. Closer, come closer. And then let your heavenly Father take over. Let him do what he does best. Let him teach them what to believe. Let him show his great love to the way he intended it, through you. Let's pray. Jesus, thanks for today. Thanks for being an awesome God. I pray that you would help many of us understand and see how powerful and impacting the idea of loving one another is. Change somebody's life, Lord. We know only you hold the power and the ability to change hearts. Help us ask every day, what does love require of me? Feeling a debt of love that we can never pay off. Lord, help this church. I'm praying for COC to become just this unbelievable location of love. You've done some amazing things already in this community through this church, and I know that you want to do even greater things, God. This will give us an influence like we've never had in our city, how we love others. What does love require of me? We ask this in your Son's precious and holy, holy, holy name.